It's my opinion that repentance is never given as a condition of everlasting life in the New Testament, that the condition over 100 times is faith in Christ, apart from works. It's faith alone. It's not faith plus repentance or faith plus baptism. It's faith. Repentance, however, is a condition for God's blessing.
It's so very good to have you with us on this beautiful Friday. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus. You can find out more about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society at faithalone.org. I'll repeat that address with more information in a few minutes. But right now, when the author of Hebrews in chapter 6 talks about those who fall away, who is he talking about? Can these be believers? And what is that same author saying about those he is saying can fall away? There's a full discussion ahead, so let's get to it. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, today we're going to talk about a controversial topic, and that topic is, can believers, genuine believers, fall away? And if they do fall away from the faith, what happens? Well, one of the major passages in this debate comes to us from Hebrews chapter 6, known as one of the warning passages in Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 6, 4 to 8. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Well, first of all, some people say, since Christians cannot fall away, this cannot be addressed to genuine Christians. Let's answer that question first. Who is this addressed to, Bob?
Yes, that's a good point. Those who say that aren't reading the context very well, because there are five participles used here, and the five participles are translated, those who were once enlightened. This word enlightened means that the person has seen and believes the truth concerning the promise of life. They have tasted the heavenly gift. This word tasted is guomai, and it's used in Hebrews 2:9 to refer to Jesus tasting death. This is a full experience of death. In this way, these people have a full experience of the heavenly gift, which is everlasting life. And they have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Well, only believers are partakers of the Holy Spirit. They have tasted the good word of God. And fifth, they've tasted the powers of the age to come. I. Howard Marshall, whom I believe you met, has famously said about this passage, the conclusion is irresistible that real Christians are meant. In fact, Homer Kent also writes, the normal understanding of these descriptive terms in light of the author's own use elsewhere in the epistle is to those who are regenerated.
So these aren't fake Christians. These aren't cultural Christians. These aren't people who are in church and they've just kind of nibbled at the word or whatever. Sometimes I've read commentators say that, oh, they just kind of nibbled, but they haven't really accepted it wholeheartedly. No, when you look at these participles, this has got to be, in no uncertain terms, genuine born again.
Absolutely. Please. Absolutely.
So there's no real debate about that. If you're being serious about the text, there's no debate that the author of Hebrews is speaking to and about believers.
And by the way, I can just one thing to see early on is verses 4, 5, and 6 are laying out the possibility of apostasy, of a believer who would fall away from the faith. And particularly these are Hebrew Christians, probably in North Africa, who are tempted to go back to animal sacrifices and turn their back on Christ. But then 7 and 8 clearly is a shift. 7 and 8 is like a good preacher, he gives an illustration. And so in 7 and 8, he talks about two options. Did you see those, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Blessing and cursing. In verse 7, it's blessing. In verse 8, it's cursing. That's a motif that runs all through the Bible. God promises to bless those who serve him. He promises to curse those who do not serve him. And so the issue here is not eternal life and eternal death. It's blessing and cursing.
So if they fall away, the author of Hebrews says it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. what is repentance here, and why is it impossible to renew them to that?
Okay, that's a good point. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on repentance at Dallas Seminary and the relationship between repentance and salvation. And it's my opinion that repentance is never given as a condition of everlasting life in the New Testament, that the condition, over 100 times, we're told, is faith in Christ, apart from works. It's faith alone. It's not faith plus repentance or faith plus baptism. It's faith. Repentance, however, is a condition for God's blessing.
And isn't it also a condition to avoid judgment?
It's a condition to avoid cursing. Absolutely. And that's what you get later on in this passage, is blessing and cursing. So when it becomes impossible to renew to repentance, I remember one of my seminary professors thought that this word impossible referred to humanly impossible. Maybe the author of Hebrews is holding out the possibility that God might bring this person back, but we'll never bring him back. Let me give you an example. The church I go to now, before I got there, they had a person who graduated from Dallas Seminary with his THM degree, his four-year Master of Theology degree. He was preaching regularly in the church, but his wife became ill, and he kept praying for her healing. And eventually, after many years, she died. When she died, he snapped. He decided that he was walking away from the Christian faith. And two of the elders of the church met with him and tried to talk to him. And the man was like talking to a brick wall. And this professor, who was one of those two elders, had said that he believed this was an impossible to renew to repentance. That man went on to get his PhD from a secular university, and he's been teaching for years in a secular university as an atheist. THM from Dallas Seminary, but teaching as an atheist. What happened to him? He fell away. And if you fall away like that, you're falling under God's curse. Now, I don't know all the circumstances of that person's life, but I know he left the abundant life behind when he walked away from his faith.
So if you fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Maybe we should say something about the different views of repentance. Some people think repentance is a certain emotion that you feel about your past life. Other people think it's a change of mind. You're believing one thing and now you're believing something else. Can you define repentance for us?
Repentance is a change of mind, and always in Scripture, it's a change in mind concerning sinful behavior. When I wrote my dissertation, I thought there were a handful of passages where it was a change of mind about Christ, so it was like a synonym for faith. I had 11 passages I thought were a synonym for faith. If you go to our website, faithalone.org, you can see an article where I talk about why I changed my view on repentance. And I came to see there every passage is dealing with turning from sinful ways. Here, the sinful way would be the person who turns their back on Christ, and in this case, they would be going back to animal sacrifices. In our culture today, it would be someone like the man who turned his back on Christ and said, I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm an atheist. Such a person would be a person who is falling under this curse.
All right, well, let's talk about that curse. There's a believer, and they've tasted all these amazing things. They've been enlightened. They know the power of the Spirit. They tasted the good word of God. And they fall away. They walk away from the faith. What happens to that person? Do they go to hell? Is that what this passage is about? Is it a curse that they get separated from God forever and lose their salvation?
No. For one thing, the author of Hebrews says it's impossible to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, the author of Hebrews says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Or in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified or being sanctified. The point is, we are perfect in God's sight. The readers were perfect in God's sight, but they were in danger of falling away. And so he's talking about born-again people and what they would lose. It's impossible to lose everlasting life. What they need is to avoid falling away, because then it becomes impossible to turn from that sin and come back to Christ apart from some miraculous work of God. And so they're not to go there. They need to pull back. There are actually 5 warning passages in Hebrews, and they're all warning against the danger of falling away. Born-again people falling away. And what's at stake in verses 7 and 8 is blessing and cursing. And by the way, in the illustration, Here's what the author says. He says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God." So one type of crop is good herbs, right? And that's blessing. But the other type of crop is thorns and briars, weeds. That is rejected. That's the Greek word adokimos. It's disapproved. And near to being cursed, or about to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Well, this happens today in agriculture all over the world, even the United States, where a field, they burn off the worthless overgrowth. But guess what remains? The earth remains. In verses 7 and 8, the believer is the earth.
So this is almost like the parable of the four soils. We're being compared to different types of earth. There's different opportunities to produce different types of things in the Christian life. We could produce useful herbs, or we could produce thorns and briars. And if we produce thorns and briars, what's going to happen?
Fire's coming, and that's temporal judgment. And by the way, almost every commentator points out that, you remember in Genesis chapter 3, the curse on the earth was it would yield thorns and briars. So what the author of Hebrews is saying is if our lives are yielding thorns and briars, then we're going to experience a curse.
Well, let's kind of bring this together then. How can we avoid apostasy in this type of judgment?
Okay, first of all, don't be a part of a church that is heretical, that's giving false teaching. Don't be a part of a cult. Don't be a part of some work salvation church. Be a part of a church that's teaching the Word of God. If you are around other people who are walking with Christ and serving Christ and they are continuing to persevere in their faith, that's an encouragement and a motivation for you as well. So be around people who are picking you up. Be around people who are encouraging you and motivating you, and that will have a powerful impact on your daily life.
Thank you, Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for explaining the meaning of falling away in Hebrews 6, and for explaining the exact meaning of repentance. It's been so good to have you with us this past week, and especially for these last few minutes. I hope you've been encouraged by this explanation of the meaning of falling away in Hebrews 6. You and I need to be part of a church that is teaching and promoting sound doctrine from the Word of God. This is Grace in Focus, a new radio program from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are praying that God will use this outreach to spread the news that His grace is absolutely free and that everlasting life is absolutely available to every person who simply believes Christ for it. You can learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our parent organization, by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We're offering a free subscription to our magazine, which has the same name as this radio program, Grace in Focus. It's published 6 times a year. Thousands of subscribers enjoy reading every single issue, and I think you would too. We also would welcome a gift from you to help sustain this radio ministry, and you can do that through the website, faithalone.org. Once again, thanks for being here. Next time on Grace in Focus, have you ever seen a road sign indicating dangerous road ahead? Well, that's the title of the next episode when we convene on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Have a wonderful weekend and keep Grace in Focus.